Chapter 10. Do you drink wine? It asked. Richard nodded. I had a little wine once, said Dor, hesitantly. My father, he, at dinner, would let us taste it. The angel Islington lifted the bottle. It looked like some kind of decanter. Richard wondered if the bottle was made of glass. It refracted and reflected the candlelight so strangely. Perhaps it was some kind of crystal, or one huge diamond. It even made it seem that the wine inside was glowing, as if it were made of light. The angel took the top off the crystal and poured an inch of the liquid inside it into a wine glass. It was a white wine, but a wine unlike any Richard had ever seen. It threw light around the caverns, like sunlight on a swimming pool. Dor and Richard sat around an age-blackened wooden table, on huge wooden chairs, and said nothing. This wine, said Islington, is the last bottle of its kind. I was given a dozen bottles by one of your ancestors. It handed the glass to Dor and began to pour another inch of the glowing wine from the decanter into another glass. It did this reverently, almost lovingly, like a priest performing a ritual. It was a welcome gift. This was, 30,000, 40,000 years ago, quite a while ago, at any rate. It passed the wine glass to Richard. I suppose that you could accuse me of squandering something I should treasure, it told them. But I receive guests so rarely, and the way here is hard. The Angelus, murmured Dor. You traveled here using the Angelus, yes, but that way only works once for each traveler. The angel raised its glass high, staring at the light. Drink it carefully, it advised them. It is most potent. It sat down at the table between Richard and Dor. When one tastes it said wistfully, I like to imagine that one is actually tasting the sunlight of bygone days. It held up its glass. A toast to former glories. Former glories, chorused Richard and Dor. And then, a little warily, they tasted the wine, sipping it, not drinking. It's amazing, said Dor. It really is, said Richard. I thought old wines turned to vinegar when they were exposed to air. The angel shook its head. Not this one. It is all a matter of the type of grape, and the place it was grown. This kind of grape, alas, perished when the vineyard vanished beneath the waves. It's magical, said Dor, sipping the liquid light. I've never tasted anything like it. And you never will again, said Islington. There is no more wine from Atlantis. Somewhere inside Richard, a small, reasonable voice pointed out that there never was an Atlantis, and thus emboldened, went on to state that there were no such things as angels, and that, for that matter, most of his experiences of the last few days had been impossible. Richard ignored it. He was learning, awkwardly, to trust his instincts and to realize that the simplest and most likely explanations for what he had seen and experienced recently were the ones that had been offered to him, no matter how unlikely they might seem. He opened his mouth and tasted the wine once more. It made him feel happy. It made him think of skies bigger and bluer than any he had ever seen, a golden sun hanging huge in the sky, everything simpler, everything younger than the world he knew. There was a waterfall to the left of them. Clear water ran down the rock and collected in the rock pool. To the right of them was a door set between two iron pillars. The door was made of polished flint, set in a metal that was almost black in colour.
"You really claim to be an angel?" Richard asked. "I mean, you've actually met God and everything."
Islington smiled tolerantly. "I claim nothing, Richard," it said, "but I am an angel."
"You honour us," said Dor.
"No, you do me much honour by coming here.
Your father was a good man, Dor,
and a friend to me. I was deeply saddened by his death."
"He said, in his journal, he said I should come to you. He said I could trust you."
"I only hope that I can be worthy of that trust." The angel sipped its wine. "London below is the second city that I have cared for. The first sank beneath the waves, and there was nothing I could do to prevent it. I know what pain is and loss. You have my sympathies. What would you like to know?" Dor paused.
"My family. They were killed by Krupp and Vandemar, but who ordered it? I want to know why."
The angel nodded. "Many secrets find their way down to me," it said. "Many rumours and half-truths and echoes." Then it turned to Richard.
"And you? What do you want, Richard Mayhew?"
Richard shrugged. "I want my life back, and my flat, and my job."
"That can happen," said the angel.
"Yeah, right," said Richard, flatly.
"Do you doubt me, Richard Mayhew?"
asked the angel Islington. Richard looked into its eyes. They were a luminescent grey in colour, eyes as old as the universe, eyes that had seen galaxies congeal from stardust 10 million years ago. And Richard shook his head. Islington smiled at him, kindly.
"It will not be easy, and you and your companions will face some very real difficulties, both in the task and in the return. But there could be a way that we can learn, a key to all our problems."
It got up and walked over to a small rock shelf, where it picked up a figurine, one of several on the shelf. It was a small black statuette depicting some kind of animal made of volcanic glass. The angel handed it to Dor.
"This will bring you safely through the last stage of your journey back to me," it said. "The rest is up to you."
"What do you want us to do?" asked Richard.
"The Black Friars are custodians of a key," it said. "Bring it to me."
"And you can use it to find out who killed my family?" asked Dor.
"I hope so," said the angel.
Richard finished his glass of wine. He felt it warming him, running through him. He had the strange feeling that if he looked down at his fingers, he would be able to see the wine glowing through them, as if he were made of light.
"Good luck,"
whispered the angel Islington. There was a rushing sound, like a wind soughing across a lost forest, or the beating of mighty wings.